DT in the background of SoulQuest, and we're finally getting to summarizing Cisco's amazing European bike adventure. We've been trying to do this forever, but it just hasn't worked out, and here we are. Very and so amazing. We'll see what he can remember about his bike trip from
last month.
It's been a month you've been back.
Yeah, a month I've been back. Man, it happened so fast. Like, we got there, and next thing you know, it's time to come back, you know?
Well, I had a different perspective, because there are some times when I would hear you say, I'm just ready to come home.
Actually, like, I would say maybe within 3 days of coming back, I knew that the last 3 days were going to be kind of challenging, because we didn't know how we were going to do it, you know, but it was all just like spontaneous, last minute. Let's try this, let's try that. And whatever led our way, we made it. And it was, by the fourth day before returning home, I was kind of ready to get back, just because I didn't want to deal with the last 3 days, you know, the pressure of driving all the way across from the French Riviera, like renting a car and then driving all the way to Paris.
Yeah. Okay. So this is your third year that you have done, a third year in a row that you've done a bike adventure with Tim.
Yes.
And so the first time was,
we started from my front yard and went all the way to Fort Collins, Colorado.
Okay. And how many miles was that?
That was, I think, right at 1,200, like 11 and some change.
Okay. And that was pretty challenging, because you had some heat and some hill and some mountains in the end.
Man, to be honest, like, I thought like getting into Colorado was going to be like, we were going to hit the mountains, but actually we were to like the right of the Colorado Rockies. So like, we didn't get like hit the mountains. We were like on the, it was a lot of rolling hills up and down. So,
okay.
It was nothing compared to this last trip. Nothing. This trip was the hardest in climbing.
All right, and then did we do an episode about your California trip? I don't remember.
I think we did or didn't.
I don't remember. I think we did or didn't.
I know we did the one about the Texas.
Colorado. Yeah, I don't think we did California.
No, we didn't.
I think we might have had an episode where we talked about it a little bit, but not like a summary that I remember.
Yeah. So California was challenging. Like, I went into that thing like a big dummy. Like, right, E.T.?
Hi, E.T. He's so cute.
So I went into it like, this is hard. It was very, very challenging. I did not expect that. Like, you know, I talked to a friend who had did the same ride, and he, you know, told me, he was like, you're okay, you'll be all right, you know? But I thought he meant like it would be okay, like I'd be all right. Dude, once we got into Big Sur, you know, it was, man, we were in the clouds, like climbing in the clouds, and we go down and have to climb back up into the clouds and go down. Yeah. And getting out of San Francisco then too it was challenging getting out of San Francisco. And then,
okay, but this was worse than that. I mean, was more challenging.
Heck yeah, dude.
Okay.
So we got there to Paris, and we hung out there for about 3 days. And then we got to see the Tour de France, the last stage of the Tour de France, which was on this. We got there Friday morning. The Tour de France was on a Sunday. But on Saturday, we just spent, we did the tourist thing and rode around. And Paris is kind of flat, there's nothing, our hotel, our, I would say, mo boat, it was hotel, the canal. It was about 8 miles from like downtown Paris, where the Champs-Élysées and the Eiffel Tower and all that stuff. I mean, we were kind of like warming up. I mean, Friday we rode into town, did the whole thing, and then rode back. So we were riding like 20 miles. We rode 20 miles once we got off the plane to that hotel, and then the next couple of days we rode like 20 miles around. But yeah, it was also, it's very difficult to get a train ticket. Like, you just can't walk into a train station and say, I want a train ticket to go here, right? Like, you have to.
Yeah, times have changed in 20 years.
Oh, dude, you have to make a rent. And plus, we went during peak season. So, like, when we got there to the train station, it's like, oh, the next train leaves in 2 weeks. We're like, 2 weeks? I was like, we. So, I just told Tim, I was like, dude, we're just gonna like jump trains, whatever we can get on. 'Cause we were just trying to get straight to Florence, Italy, like a straight shot. But everything was booked for like 2 weeks in advance. But we didn't know that. We went into it like,
Nobody did any research.
nobody did. Well, hey, I didn't do any research on any of these trips. It was all very spontaneous. Just jump right in. It was like a jump right in kind of, that was, those are the best adventures. You know what I'm saying? Because I was talking to someone about this the other day, like, we were on a time schedule, but we weren't on a time schedule that we had to, like, oh, we got to catch this train at this time. We didn't have reservations at a certain hotel. Like, all the, like, every night that we rode into every little town or village or a little city, we had to find a place to stay. It's not like we were like, oh, we got a room in here tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Because then that would put a lot of pressure on how much
Oh, that would have been
to.
so much pressure. So, dude, every time we rolled into a city after we left Paris, we ended up like catching a bus. It was like an 18-hour bus ride from Paris. Like, we took, it's called the blah 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 car, but they do buses too. Or you can either like jump in a car with somebody and get all the way there, or they have buses. So we were able, this, we met this American lady who owned a cafe, and she heard us talking outside that we were trying to get to Florence. But we just stopped at her cafe just to get, some coffee. And she totally helped us out. She told us to go download the blah blah blah. And of course, she knew how to speak and read in French. So, like, she read everything, and it's like, all right, do this, do this, do this. And okay. And then she told us where to go. And then we jumped on the bus and went to Florence. And that was 18-hour bus ride. But it left at 10 o'clock at night. So, like, half of the ride, you're trying to sleep at night, and you get there almost, So we got to Florence like around 4 o'clock in the afternoon the next day or something like that. I mean, it made stops, but man, it was an amazing bus ride. I mean, like, 'cause right when the sun started coming up, we were in the French Alps, and it was just absolutely breathtaking. Like, I'm kind of glad, we kind of, it was a cool experience, but we got to Florence, and I didn't expect Florence to be the way, I didn't like look up Florence and be like, oh, this and that and this and that there, but it was absolutely, that place was cool as hell. You've been there, right? So you know what I'm talking about. So that's where the ride kicked off. We spent the night in Florence, and then we took off. No, actually, that we had, we spent the one day there just chilling and sightseeing, and then the next day we took off, and it was like 50 miles. We rode to Pisa, and Pisa was really cool. I really enjoyed that place. And then from Pisa, we rode to a port city called La Spezia. And those two rides, it was like 100 miles to the Italian Riviera. And then from there, that's where the ride actually started in the mountains. So,
So then it started getting hard.
oh my God, like Tim, yeah, he had been there before like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and he said he rode a portion of it. But there's a national park that starts right there. It's called Tinky Cherry. I think I'm saying that right. But it's a national park that runs along the Italian Riviera. And off the bat, as soon as we left La Spezia, it starts. And then it was just like straight climbing. I mean, that day, we only did like 27 miles or something like that to get to the next town. 12 of those miles was just straight climbing up. Like, we maybe climbed up for about 3 miles, and we went down a little bit and then climbed up 2 miles, and then went down and climbed up 4 miles. It was very, very, very challenging. Like,
Wow.
more challenging than anything on the Colorado trip, climbing wise, and almost as equal as the California ride. But dude, we only did 27 miles that day. That was the funny thing. Like, most of the, on the on the Texas trip, we did anywhere from like 65 to 110 a day. But we were only able to do 27 or 20, yeah, miles that first mountain stage into the Riviera, because we rode along the coast from there all the way to Nice, France. So, yeah, it was all climbing. It's like you would climb out of a town and then just drop back down. Like, you'd climb up 4 miles or 2 miles. And then, yeah,
Wow.
it was absolutely breathtaking, like the scenery.
Yeah, so okay, because I'm trying to remember when I was there on the train, but I guess the train would be flat and the flat part. I was like, I don't remember any hills, but I was on a train traveling, not a bike. You guys just stayed on the Riviera part.
Yeah, the Italian Riviera, and then which was on the day two, I'll never forget. Like, we left that little town we stayed in. I forgot what it was called right now, but it was a 2 mile straight up climb. Like, and then it shot down for 2 miles. And then we rolled into this little town. I think I remember it was called Bonalasso. And Tim was like, he's like, I can't go no more, dude. And I was like, at first, I was like, come on, dude. We were trying to ride the Genoa. You could say it either way. But we were trying to, and that was like 60 something miles down the road, maybe 70. It could maybe been a little bit longer. But my idea was like, we were just in the 4 miles, and I wanted to ride another 70 miles. And Tim's like, he was like, and then I felt it a little bit. I did feel it. I was like, but my goal was just like, for me, it's just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going,
Yeah, that's you.
But I'm kind but I'm kind of glad we stopped. It's kind of like one of those things when you look back and reflect, there was a reason why we stopped there. It was really cool. We got this cool, we stay in this little bitty bread and breakfast place, and we chilled the rest of the day. Like, we got to that next town like at, I don't know, 11 in the morning with on those 4 miles. So, like, we got the room, and then like,
Is that where you saw the Joe Dispenza lookalike and he tried to trick me?
no, that was.
I sent that picture to Hannah. I was like, does this look like Joe Dispenza? You think, oh my God, of course he would go there and he'd
Are
see
you kidding me?
Joe Dispenza. She's like, it looks like him. And then then you message me.
No,
She's like, oh, that's a lookalike.
that was crap. I forgot where we were when we saw him. We stayed at this other, that was like a hotel kind of place, resort place. It was a cool place. They had a dinner buffet there, and that's where I saw him. And
Yeah, the
I
Joe Dispenza lookalike, not
the
Joe
Joe
Dispenza. Just to
Dispenza
be clear.
lookalike. I bet he thought like I was like stalking him or something.
Oh my God, did you talk to him? I was like, is it him?
Because I was texting you. And you were like, oh my God, that's him. And I was like, that's him. But then when I Googled him, Joe Dispenza's face was like a little bit rounder. The haircut, the color, like it looked like him. But this guy was speaking full-blown Italian. So yeah.
Italian doppelganger.
I was. It absolutely was the
But
doppelganger.
Dispenza could be an Italian. I don't know if he's Italian or not, but
That sounds like an Italian last name.
it does.
Could have been
That
his
would be.
brother or cousin or something. I don't know.
Anyway, that was funny because I totally, at first second, was like, oh my God, of course he would
I
go
know you were
stay at
tripping.
the hotel.
That was actually pretty cool. I know
So.
I was tripping when I saw that, but
Okay, so you, so oh, I remember, like you guys couldn't get to Nice. You had to rent a car at from Nice, right?
yeah, so we got to Nice and we took a that was an official off day because we've been riding every day except when we got to Bonalasso. That was a half a day of riding, only 4 miles. But when we got, hey look, it's Fudgy, look over
Actually, you need tea.
here. Fudgy's on
Your
top.
tea is just lounging back there. Okay, go
So,
ahead.
once we got to Nice, we were like, how are we getting back to Paris? You know, like we didn't even know. Like Tim was actually thinking like he was just gonna send me off. And he goes, man, I'll get there. He goes, I might stay here for another week or something. Like, but he was gonna try to go to England and get a picture with what's the rocks that are sitting in the circle?
Oh yeah, yeah, I can't remember the name. Oh,
And
the
but
Stonehenge or something.
Stonehenge, and then he wanted to go to Big Ben and get a picture of his bike. So I've been texting Tim quite a bit lately, and he took a lot of pictures of his bike Bella. So he sent me like these huge, they were probably like 2 feet by like 3 feet, 2 feet by like a foot, but like these cool pictures of his bike in front of like the Eiffel Tower and the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Like he had them blown up. Yeah,
Oh,
he sent them to me. I was like, damn, those look tight. And then he goes, hey, if you got any pictures you want blown up, let me know. He goes, I got the connection. So I don't know.
wow, that's cool.
I might take him up I don't know. Me in front of the Tower of Pisa was a pretty cool picture. So I don't know. Everything was absolutely beautiful. Just amazing. Now that you're making me reflect on it, like I'm thinking like, wow, this is just I mean, I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, that's amazing that you get to have that kind of trip in your lifetime.
I know, I mean, seriously, like even I'm just speaking this, I guess, you know, we're all emotional people here. You know, we are. Some people try to hide emotions a lot, but there were times like, you know, I was riding in Texas in the middle of nowhere, you know, jamming music, and then like same thing in California. I was just riding in the middle of California, or you know, in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing around but you and the road and like forests and trees and mountains. And same thing on this too. You're like just riding, seeing these beautiful villages on the bottom of these coves and the water. And like, dude, it seriously it brought tears to my eyes. Like I was just at awe, and I was like, never in my life would I ever thought I would see any of that. You know what I mean? And none of these trips were my idea, just to set the record. And
You were recruited.
I was recruited. I was never the planner of any of these trips because as you know, I'm telling this story here, like we didn't know where we were going every day. You know, we didn't know what town we were staying, we didn't know where we were staying, nothing. So yeah, it's just that the that those three trips were absolutely adventures. Like we just go with the flow and whatever happens, happens, you know.
And that is a long time to be traveling, especially on a bike and especially with one person. I don't know how you stayed sane. I would have been like, okay, I'm ready to go home and
Yeah,
be stable.
I mean, these are all Tim's ideas. They were all Tim's ideas to, you know, to take the trip. And I would say maybe 60% of the time I was riding by myself. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah,
Tim
because you guys
was
are on
riding
different speeds.
Tim was riding his speed, I was riding my speed, and you know, I'd wait for Tim and he shot, but give it up to him because I'd be waiting like 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes for him. And he would show up and I'd been just chilling, you know? And then I only give him like 10 minutes. And then we're ready to go again. You know, like I was like, you got 10 minutes, dude. We gotta keep going. Like we can't be stopping like for a long amount of time. But I'm sure him getting to meet me, I'm sure he stopped for like 5 minutes and then he kept riding. He stopped for like 10 minutes. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? So he was probably getting his chill on too. But then, you know, keep going. So now I think about it, he did kind of balance it out. But when he got to me, I was like, dude, 10 minutes and then we got to go, dude. You know?
Well, I think that's part of the
Yeah.
reason why he brings you along is because he knows you're going to push him and keep him going.
Yeah. Definitely that. Definitely.
So
He
what are
told me
your
He told me that. He
Okay.
actually said that. So,
All right. Well, what a compliment to you.
I'm very grateful. Thank you, Tim, for, you know, asking me to do this because if he would have never asked me, I would have been like, you know, I couldn't
I
go.
know. I know you had on your mind you were gonna ride to New York or something.
Oh yeah, that was gonna happen, but I just couldn't nail the details down. Like yeah, that's. But I haven't told anybody about that, and only like a couple people. So,
Oh, sorry.
no. It in the future maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
But not any time. But that trip, I plan to do on my own, like you know,
Oh, okay.
without Tim.
Yeah, right. I mean, I knew that part.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, what would you say? Were there any new lessons in this trip? Any
Patience.
patient. I think you have that lesson in every one.
Yeah, but this one I would say more because of the climbing. And also too that within those last 3 days of actually trying to get back to Paris and those last, we still had to stop in that in at Alpe d'Huez. It was like halfway between Nice and then Paris. So we stopped there and then we climbed Alpe d'Huez and then we jumped
Yeah.
back in the car and drove back to Paris.
Right. And so I know Alpe d'Huez was on your list, and it was like you did not want to leave without doing it.
Yeah,
So,
and Tim and I almost didn't do it. Like we almost like crossed it out. I don't know if I
right.
told you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you did because he said he didn't know if he could do it. And then you guys didn't know if you had time. And then so you did it. So was it all that you expected and more or
Oh
more?
my God, like that was like honestly, I promise, like if you're a cyclist and you listen to this and you watch the Tour de France and like I got into the Tour de France like back in 96 and I just, you know, been following it, you know, every especially when Lance Armstrong was in it and winning for those 7 years, like I was definitely on it. But I got into the history of Tour de France. Like I started watching like when the Greg LeMond was, you know, in 89, like won it. He was the first American to win it. And then like I started going back and watching like the 70s and 60s and learning about the 50s of the Tour de France. And then, you know, because Tour de France started like in 1901 or two or something like
Oh,
that.
wow.
So it's been around forever. But
Wow.
Alpe d'Huez came about in the 50s. So it was actually the first time they put that stage in the Tour de France in the 50s. So it is, I felt like I was in another realm. Like I felt like I was on TV. You know what I'm saying? Like, because when they show it on TV, like they got the camera, the motorcycle guys recording one guy climbing or a couple guys.
Yeah.
And then there's just like thousands of people on the side of the mountain just screaming and yelling. Like, you can feel all that energy there. So we were there like 2 weeks after, almost, yeah, 3 weeks after, or when we got there, it was like 2.5 weeks after the tour had just finished. So all this like riding on the ground was still there. Like the team names and like go this, go that, you know what I'm saying? So, and that was an 8.5 mile climb, just straight up. Like there was no flat off. I mean, it was just straight up climb like this. But like, I kept on telling Tim, because Tim was a little worried and he didn't have as many gears as I did. But that first day when we went into the mountains, after leaving Florence and Pisa and La Spezia, we had climbed 12 miles, but it wasn't a 12 mile consistent up. It was, like I said, it was 3 miles and then 2 miles up. And, you know, it was just, it was broken down into.
Yeah.
This was actually 8 miles straight up. So when we left Nice, we made it to Alpe d'Huez and we drove up it, just like looking, we drove all the way to the top. Actually, it peaks at, it's a ski place, a resort on top. But then at this resort, there's all these ski lifts and it goes way higher into the mountains. But the road ends on the top where the ski lift and the resort's at. So we drove up it and we were just like in awe. Like even driving to Nice, from Nice to Alpe d'Huez was amazing, because we went into the mountains and you're just driving. Of course, I mean, I've been in the mountains before, but like, if you really pay, I'm a detail kind of person and I like to pay attention to details, but like these mountains were just like, wow, you know what I'm saying? I got some video footage of it. I need to look at it. I couldn't put it on, like, I couldn't put that much stuff on social media, but I got a ton of video. Like, I can make a small documentary, like, you know, on all this stuff. Like I only was able to put just a little bit online, but yeah, it was Alpe d'Huez was the dream. It was like on my bucket list of things to do, you know? So.
Well, I'm glad you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim. Yeah. We had a good time.
All right. Well, that's amazing. You're amazing. You like to do hard things. That's my motto.
You always say it.
You do. I mean, and every time that you go, I'm always like a little worried, but I know after the first time I knew that you're going to be able to conquer whatever, and you always do. And that's a really great part of you. I'm amazing and inspiring. So thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Is there anything else you want to say about the trip that you want people to know?
Man, I hope, like, if you wanted, like, if anyone's listening, you can go to my Instagram at Cisco Nera. And I daily blogged it. And I didn't put a whole lot of, you know, I put enough to like for you to get a taste of it. And I explained every day like what went on the day before and what we're doing today. So it's kind of like a little guide, you know, if anyone's interested in seeing and following my route. My route's all on Strava too. Like you can see the route that we took on Strava. But if you ever want to, you know, see the Italian and French Riviera starting from La Spezia, and that's more like northern Italy. But on the coast, though, you know, because Italy goes way up north. Like, I have a friend who's about to go out there, like, in 2 weeks, and he's going to be way up north in the mountains of Italy. So this was more on the water side, the sea. I forgot what sea is there. But, yeah, if you want to, you know, check it out and see what's up, and I promise you, you will not be let down by the scenery and the actual challenge of the ride, but be prepared. And if you're going to try out pack, really, we met a couple other cyclists that were doing different tours when we were out there. And I'm sure they got a piece of it. Like when we stopped at a couple of shops and they saw it, or, you know, we stopped to get something to drink, or they were like, oh, you went through Tiki Chain. Oh, they were like, man, you got to be strong to do that, you know? So, Very, very challenging. Definitely get your riding or take your time and ride and enjoy the scenery, but make sure you, I mean, the little towns and villages are kind of, they're kind of close. So like, you know, if you feel like you need to pull over or camp out or something, you know what I'm saying? You'll have a great time. You will. I did. So,
Awesome.
but yeah, if you ever get a chance to, if you get a hair up your butt and want to just do it, you know, if someone asks you to go, go with them, you know, or go by yourself. You'll never know. I think I said that. You'll find out more about yourself than you, you
Yeah, that's true.
like I said, I was by myself at least 60%, sometimes 70% of the time I was by myself. So like, you know, I had a lot of thought process and overlooking and stopping and taking pictures and living in the moment, you know, like I didn't care about any, you know, I know I had to come home and deal with home stuff when I got home, but like, heck no, you just wait till you come home and just live in the moment until you have to come home. Don't be stressing about, you know, I gotta do this and that when I get home. Just enjoy your time. Your plane leaves 2 weeks or a week later, and then that's when you get on that plane and think about it when you get home or think about it when you land. So,
That's great advice.
but yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Cisco's story of his European bike adventure. All
Yes.
right. We're
Thank you.
out.
All right. Peace.